Welcome to Bourbon, Beards, and Belvedere. I'm Adam.
And I'm Jerry.
Paul is not with us today. He is held up at work, but in his place, we got an awesome guest. We've talked about his products in the past. It's our first time getting him on the show. We're talking about the proprietor of Outcast Beard Products, the original Outcast himself. Michael, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, Adam and Jerry, how's it going?
Good.
Doing great.
Well,
glad to have you on.
Thank you.
We've had some scheduling snafus, been trying to make this happen for a while, so we're glad that it's actually coming to fruition. Before we get into, you know, really in-depth talking about you and your products, let's start up with our palate warmers, like we always do. Jerry, what do you got, brother?
The good old Forrester 86 proof, just tried and true, lower proof to go with some of the whiskey that we'll have on during the show. So sure. I think this has been on a couple times.
Now, Mike, we may have sprung the palate warmer on you. I'm not sure. Did you happen to get a palate warmer, or are you drinking it all with us today, or you just go with one of the other?
I'm a big Buffalo Trace fan, and unfortunately, I'm sure you all know it's hard to get your hands on that stuff. So I was at the liquor store the other day, and I got myself some Benchmark Bonded, which is from the same distillery. I'm not lying. It's pretty tasty. I like it. And it's been my new substitute when I can't get my hands on Buffalo Trace.
Sure.
Yeah, that Bonded is probably my favorite out of that lineup that they put out.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It is. It's a good one. I like the foolproof myself, but I keep the whole lineup. Luckily, I can get them here in Kentucky. So, you know, if you're finding it hard, just reach out, man. I got you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm going to start out with some Rabbit Hole, some Cave Hill. 95 proof, I don't know, there it is, 70% corn, 10% malted wheat, 10% malted barley, and 10% honey malted barley. Never chill filtered, as it should be. It's got a kick-ass shape for the bottle. It's got a little rabbit right here. It's got a cool story behind the distillery, and the distillery itself is really, really fucking cool. So, Michael, if you ever find yourself in Louisville and looking for something to do, check them out. It's state of the art. It's probably the cleanest distillery I've ever seen, you know, which is saying something because they're all generally pretty clean. This one is crazy. It's immaculate. So
nice. I'll keep that in mind.
This is some really good shit too. So while we're getting warmed up, I got my new shipment of the JR Cigars Cigar of the Month Club just today. And I want to open this bad boy up and see what's in it. So, shit, I had two down here, I had last month still. I want to make sure that, I didn't get the right box. Hold on a second.
While we're waiting for him, I will say that I kind of did get into cigars recently, and not an aficionado like you all are, but
we're not at all.
I've gotten my hands on some AJ Fernandez. A buddy of mine went overseas and brought back some Cubans he was able to get in China, and so he was handing them out, and I was like, well, shoot, it's been on my bucket list forever. So I tried it out, and what do you know, I used to smoke a long time ago. I gave it up, but I enjoy, you know, the cigars and stuff. So a couple AJ Fernandez, New Worlds, Connecticut's, and then I had, what was it? The one called My Father Connecticut by Garcia and Garcia.
Yeah, that my father's, well, both those are great cigars, but that My Father's cigar is a top-notch one.
I'm not going to lie, it was delicious. It was very, very pleasing and easy to smoke.
All right, guys, so this month's Cigar of the Month Club, we've got a cigar that I can't pronounce, but the cigar itself is called The Wise Man. L-G-U-E-G-U-E-N-S-E. I can't pronounce that. I just don't have the mouth for it. I got a Macanudo, the tiniest damn cigar. It's some bitches. Wow. Okay. I mean, for $5, I guess that's a pretty good Macanudo. Can't really complain. H. Upman. Now, this one I like. It's the Barber. And they call it that because it's, you know, dual shaded and in that barber shop.
That's really cool.
Style. That's pretty cool. And then I got a Timeless Sterling. And then the one that I'm getting ready to get into and something that I have really come to enjoy recently, an Aganorsa Leaf Corojo. These are, there you go.
Yeah, I got the Anniversario. Just sparked it up a little recording.
These are, I really, really like Aganorsa Leaf. And generally, JR Cigars is pretty good about getting one of these into your Cigar of the Month Club box. The other cool thing, now, again, just want to throw this out there. We are not sponsored by JR Cigar, but we're willing to be JR Cigars. they sent me this. It's a silicone ashtray, and it says Cigar of the Month, dead center of the thing, and it's got their seal. You know, established 1971, over 50 years of service, on and on it goes. These guys are awesome, and these cigars that they get you are awesome, and their prices are awesome. So, Michael, I heard you say that you're recently into cigars, and
yeah,
I highly encourage you to look at JR Cigars if you're, I mean, now it's a rabbit hole. I'm not going to lie to you. If you're going to jump in, you're going to find yourself looking, because they've got some kick-ass prices. You're going to find yourself buying like bundles of 50 for fucking $70, and you'll get some damn good cigars. They're not sending you a bag of Swisher Sweets or anything like that. So,
right. No, I've looked into them and they're on my list of things to check out. We have this place called Abbey Cigar here in my local town. They're a cigar club. You pay a membership and there's a back section of their cigar shop where they have a lot of seated lounge drinks. They watch a lot of the games, put a lot of the fights on. So I'm looking into it. You know, I'm just getting back into it. I did have one for today I wanted to save. I thought, well, when I went up there to talk with the guys at Abbey's, they told me this was a really good cigar. I haven't had a cigar with a very dark wrapper on it yet. These have all the ones that I've had have been the, you know, natural color or the, as a, what do they call them?
Connecticut's
or the EMS color.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is AJ Fernandez New World Puro Especial.
Very good. Very good.
So, unfortunately, I'm indoors right now. So, but I definitely will let you guys know what I thought about this.
Sure.
I think I'm going to love it, but I'll definitely let you guys know.
So if you're anything like me, I like bold flavors. Right? Black coffee, rare steak, high proof whiskey. So if you find yourself enjoying any of those things, then you're going to like that. The dark, fuller flavored cigars are right in that same vein. So I think you're going to enjoy it.
Good deal.
All right. So let's get to the reason for the season. Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, you know, you don't have to tell us your age or your last name or anything like that unless you want to. You're more than welcome to do so. And yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little background information.
Yeah, sure. My name is Michael Aremia, from born and raised in North Carolina. Parents are from the North, came down in the 70s. I've grew up playing ball, baseball, have a brother and sister, and kind of just a normal childhood, you know, nothing too spectacular, kind of here and there traveling. You know, I'm not big on leaving the country like that. Been to Mexico a few times when we lived in Texas with my wife, and lived in a couple of beach areas, Wilmington and South Carolina, down near Cherry Grove. So other than that, I was just an ordinary kid. Just working, busting his ass, sometimes two or three jobs here and there. I love to work. I love working with my hands. Did a lot of woodworking and through high school. Wanted to do that as a career and just kind of didn't happen. The places in the area weren't really looking at that time, but I still build furniture to this day. The desk that I'm sitting at right now is one that I built. I furnished my parents' house in high school with all the stuff we built. So I really loved that. I'm an artist. I've been drawing since I was writing. I was doing small apprenticeship for tattoo artists in my early 20s. And then the artist that I was apprenticing with left and moved to a new state to a better opportunity. So that fell through. And then I just kind of went through my 20s, met my wife. We had some kids, three daughters, awesome kids, love them to death. And I started my career in IT. And lo and behold, I got bored and the pandemic hit. So I've been bearded for a very long time. And I had been trying all different types of products. Some I liked, some I didn't. And saw that it wasn't too difficult to make. I'm not going to lie. I know that kind of sounds, you know, I'm kind of putting down what I do. It's not that it's not too difficult to make, but it's really just putting some oils together and mixing it up. But I started messing around and came up with some products. Friends of mine started using them and they pressured me for a couple of years to push through and do something with this. And last February, Outcast Beards was formed and we've been going pretty strong since. You know, I do it on the weekends. I still have a day job. I'm still in every bit of my free time focusing on Outcast Beards and learning all the different tricks of the trade when it comes to these markets that we do. So when I'm not banging around on the keyboard, I'm messing around with beard products.
Right on. Well, you know, if you ever want to jump back into the woodworking, I had a pool deck that I fucking started today. If you want to make a trip up to Lexington. I get the IT thing, man. That's how I make my living. And if I'm not working, I do not computer. Like, this is the most that I will touch a computer if I'm not working, because I fucking hate it, right? What I do is I'm an administrator of a virtual environment, a very large virtual environment at the University of Kentucky. And most of my time is spent focusing on Linux servers.
Yep.
And then applications that run on those servers. It's just a pain in the ass. I mean, not necessarily the work itself, but just computers in general. So I get that. And I was in IT when the pandemic hit. Yeah. So, and I think during the pandemic is actually whenever I started trying to make not as like a job or anything to do, but mostly just a way to get away from paying for my beard products. Started trying to make my own and it just didn't work out for me. That's just not something that I can put all my focus and energy into. That's why we have folks like yourself to do that for people like me that can't focus on doing it. And you guys can make great stuff and I can reap all the benefits. So,
yeah, it was tough for me because at the time when my friends were asking me, I still had one of my kids was still at that age where she was high maintenance. Now they're 13 and older and they're right? So I needed something to do because I'm the type of person who just can't sit around and do nothing. I have to do something. So I put all my energy into that. After Buck broke down to my friend's requests and we got working. It is just me right now doing everything, making all the products. My brother, I'm sure you've seen in the posts, he comes to all the shows. He helps me with all the customer questions and handling of the orders and stuff while we're handling. We get sometimes 10 people at our booths at a time. So he's been awesome. He's really learned the products. He's very well versed in what we're doing here, understands the benefits of what we're using in our products. And man, without him, I don't know how well this would work. So even though he's not there making it in the back, he's up front handling a lot of the stress that we're dealing with at these events. Cause some of these events we get like, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 people come through and it's just nonstop. And without him, it would have been very difficult. So he's been awesome.
Right on. All right. Well, so before we get into your brands, let's start with this first whiskey that you suggested. Let me, I don't know if you can't read that. There we go. Let's talk about that.
yes.
Tell us what we're drinking here.
All right.
What you like about it and those kinds of things.
So, Angel's Envy. I was introduced to this bourbon from a buddy of mine named Tim last year. And we were hanging out together. He's part of this big bourbon club. He knows so much about bourbon. It's like me talking about computer stuff when people like eyes glaze over. He gets so deep into bourbon. It's like, whoa. But he was sharing this with me one night, and just the overall notes that it provided. I mean, you know, the sweetness that's there with the vanilla that I can, you know, can smell a little bit of the, what I believe is maple syrup. And then when it hits your tongue, that port barrel really gives this great taste. And what I love about it is that part of it, really. I'm a big bourbon guy. I wasn't a big beer drinker growing up. I was really big into Crown, Maker's Mark, not so much rums as much as whiskeys, Jack Daniels and stuff. But this really, for some reason, just stood out. I think it's got to do with the port barrels that they finish them in, right? So it's got this sort of fruity, sweet, but that bourbon taste at the same time. And it's just so smooth. And it has become one of my favorite go-to bourbons. Whenever we're out and about, I know every place has got this in my area. So it's really easy for me to order, and it's very easy to get my hands on it at the liquor store. So yeah, Angel's Envy is an amazing bourbon.
Yeah, this was one of my, outside of the Wild Turkeys and Makers and like the standard stuff you see all the time, this and some Woodford were basically my gateway into nicer whiskeys, if you want to say, yeah, a little bit higher priced whiskeys. But yeah, I'm with you with that. All the vanillas, I get a bunch of like that berry notes you kind of do with the port finishes and some wine finishes, has a nice like creamy mouthfeel, which is something that you don't get out of a lot of whiskey. Yeah, this is one of the ones, actually, when we were talking and I asked you what whiskey you like to drink or whatever, you said it and I was like, I think I got a bottle, and it somehow found its way to the back of the shelf. Probably been sitting there for a couple months. But this is one of those that I like to, if there's a new guy that wants to try some whiskey or try something a little bit different, this is one that I'll pull out or say, hey, try this one. Because you get it's a little bit sweeter. The Buffalo Trace lineup, basically all of them, if you could find them, is another one, a little bit sweeter. And it's usually what they're going for. So yeah, that berry note just sticks with me through the nose and the mouth. And it's something I don't typically get. So it's a good one.
Yeah, and see, I'm a bit of a creature of habit as well, so I don't stray away too far from the nest when it comes to bourbon. So I stick with a few of them. I've got buddies of mine who have collections and cabinets full of all these different bourbons and can tell you everything about them. And I enjoy that and listening to it. But when it comes to my personal, you know, at the house, my personal collection, it's not a huge one. It's Angel's Envy, Buffalo Trace, and some scotches. I love scotch as well. Straight. When growing up with my dad, my grandfather, I'm on that side. So my dad's from Brooklyn and my grandfather's from upstate New York. In the holiday seasons, it was always Manhattans around the house. You know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, it was Manhattans and Godfathers. And so my very first drink when I was 18 was over the holidays at this Christmas get together with my family. My dad was making this Godfather and I looked at him. I was like, let me get one. He's like, what the hell? So you're not going anywhere. So it's 2 ounces of scotch and 3/4 ounces of amaretto. And man, it was awesome. So I would have those here and there. I always had a mixing scotch, you know, a blended scotch, not a single malt. Yeah, I would never mix a single malt. That's just no bueno. But I would always have like a Dewar's blended scotch. And when I would want a Godfather, I would mix some amaretto in that. But yeah, pretty much real simple when it comes to bourbon, you know, and I'm always down to try new things as well. And because there's so much out there, it's impossible to, you know, sit there and say that there's you know, only a few that exist. And that's the great thing about bourbon is there's so many of them and so many different tastes. And some of them I don't like, you know, I've had some very expensive bourbon that I just thought was, it was just not good. Yeah. Very, it was harsh. Mm-hmm. It was not fun to drink. And then I've had like Buffalo Trace. I mean, what are we talking, like $30 a bottle? And I enjoy that over some of these $80, $90, even $100 bottles that I've come across with friends and stuff. And Angel's Envy is like right in that top, like we get it for around $60 here in North Carolina. That is probably the most expensive stuff I buy. And when I can get my hands, like I said, on Buffalo Trace, if not now this Benchmark Bonded, that's what I go for.
Yeah, that's something we we try to draw home, is you don't have to spend big, you know, to find something enjoyable. I think a lot of people are under a misconception that that's a requirement, but it's really not. There's plenty of stuff out there that's very affordable, yeah. Very, very drinkable. But
yeah, one of the things I like to do, and I know Paul and Adam do as well, put it up against like a Wild Turkey 101 or Evan Williams Bonded or an Old Forester or something, like something that's going to be sub 25, sub $30. And you do it in a blind and you'll be surprised that there'll be times that these sub $30 bottles come out on top of these $50+ bottles. And it's just like, sure. I'd rather have two bottles of this versus that one bottle because right. That tastes a lot better.
Yeah.
So just because it has a price tag behind it doesn't mean it's good.
That's very true.
Sometimes it does. Not always.
And you mentioned Dewar's, a friend of our show here. His name is Brian Dewar. He works for a company called 10th Mountain out of Colorado. He is of the Dewar family.
Oh, wow.
He is getting ready to start a new podcast called Bourbon with Friends. So, you know, if you're hearing
old podcast, new host.
Yeah. There we go. That's a better way to put it. Like, okay. I thought that I heard the name. I was like, hold on a second. But yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But him and two people.
Those guys. He's an entertaining guy. He's got a lot of energy, got a lot of knowledge, and he's a really good person. Like, he's just I've seen some of the things that he's done for, I know he works with an awesome, well, he started an awesome charity for veterans, but he's done some other things, you know, behind the scenes for some folks that were dealing with illness and all this and whatever. He's just an awesome person. The other two, I don't know them, but I'm willing to bet that they're equally as awesome if they're willing to, or Brian is willing to keep their company. So definitely something to look out for in the future. That would be pretty cool. And, you know, who knows? We might be able to get all three of them on here before those are released to actually talk about that. I bet we could at least get Brian on to talk about that. But, you know, if you're looking for another bourbon podcast to listen to, Michael,
yeah,
that would be definitely a good one.
Yeah, I find, you know, you guys' podcast is, you know, I've listened to a few here and there through my busy schedule. And I really enjoy it because, one, you guys mesh really well. And that's important to me. And the topics that you talk about are things that I like to listen to, which is important to me. And it's very easy listening. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are just smooth. I remember when we were first starting out and I was listening and I was like, man, this is just my type of, like, I feel like we would all be hanging out together if we all lived together, because you guys are, you know, the type of people I kind of associate with, laid back, smooth, easygoing, you know, guys that love to talk about the things that they love to talk about, you know. And it's great to know that there are, outside of where I live, guys like me and stuff, because I'm not out there in all of the social stuff that's going on, because I'm so busy with my family, my work, and my Outcast Beards, that I kind of lose a little touch with reality in a sense. That's why I love these markets, because we get to meet so many different types of people, right, types of walks. We did one downtown Raleigh the other day, and in an area we know that have a lot of homeless people, which is a big problem in that area. And it breaks my heart to see that. And these guys are coming through, and one gentleman walked through and he just had this casual conversation with us and was a very nice man, told us his story and didn't ask for a dime, right? Just wanted to talk with somebody, and he had a beard. And so I gave him some beard products and stuff for him to use. And, you know, you could tell he genuinely cared about that. And so being able to get out to these markets is been the coolest part of Outcast Beards, because we get to meet all types of people, all types of walks. And I got to say, that's really been my favorite part about this company are these events. So I'm going to keep doing them no matter what.
Right on. So with those types of events, are you fairly well traveled, or are they kind of specific to your region? And the reason I ask is because there's a beard competition coming up here in Lexington, and you know, and I don't know how you are with sports, and I know you're from North Carolina. I don't know if you're a UNC fan or if you're a Duke fan, or
I'm a proud NC State fan.
Hey, now look, after Kentucky got put out in the NCAA tournament, I was on the NC State wagon all the way.
Cause yes.
that big dude, man, that dude can ball. Like he
Burns. Was, yes.
Yes.
Burns. Awesome.
I was all about it. I'm not necessarily a NC State fan.
Right.
I'm a big Jimmy V fan.
Oh yeah.
You know, basketball, college basketball wouldn't be college basketball without Jimmy V. And,
I agree.
And then, in turn, Dickie V, whose voice it drove me nuts until it didn't exist in basketball anymore. And then I was like, basketball's not the same without right. Dick Vitale. So, yes. and his, one of his best friends was Jimmy Valvano. So that it's kind of like, basketball isn't. So you got to appreciate the guy. Anyway, the reason I ask is because, again, there's a competition here in Lexington later in August, and I'm actually going to compete in this. It'll be my first beard competition. I've had a beard
awesome.
For 20 years, and it'll be my first beard competition. I'm going to compete in the 3 to 8 inch. I think mine is right at 7. I yanked one out and measured it the other day just so I could be sure.
Right.
But I really didn't need to do that. I could have just gone and gotten my brush and pulled one out. But anyway, yeah, are they pretty specific to your region? Just, I know gas is stupid expensive and whatnot, or are you fairly well traveled with those types of events?
So we're sticking to our area right now, and only just because we're just getting started, right? We're working on building our social media following on Instagram and Facebook. We're trying to get our name out locally, which I believe we've done a really good job. We have some jotted down areas we want to start venturing out to, we're in Raleigh is the big city we're at. Charlotte is the bigger city that we're looking towards moving. And we're just going to kind of inch our way out and see where it takes us. The other couple events we had ago, one of the bartenders, it was the greatest spot. We were posted right in front of this bar in Zebulon, North Carolina. And I went in there to get a drink, and this guy had this really nice beard sitting behind the bar. We got to talking, and he does some competitions as well. And he went down in Florida and did one. So there's so much we're learning about outside of our location, and we're getting a lot of great recommendations. So yes, it's coming, but right now we're sticking to the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Zebulon area. We're in the heart of the ACC. So we've got a lot of customers here that we haven't even typed into. Yeah, I know you. we're right in the center of it, and we have plans and aspirations to expand into other states, and that is to come. So when it's going to happen, we're not sure yet, but we're hoping it's happening soon.
Well, that's great that it's already on your horizon, because you've not even, this company has been started. You said in 2021, is that right?
2023, February, it began.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, but then I was like, it can't be that soon already. I have a shit memory. It's a combination of misspent youth and brain damage from epilepsy. So it's just, there's a whole lot of fucked up go on, but yeah, that's great. It's not even, it's barely existed for a year, and you're already, you got a pretty good lock on that big of an area and goals on the horizon. That's awesome. I do have to get my hands on one of those hats. I can get that on the website. Yeah.
I'll send you one.
Are you reason, sure? I don't, of course.
Mind. So we've been running this huge promo. We decided that with certain types of orders we were having, we were giving shirts and hats away as free advertisement, right?
Okay.
So when customers were coming up to our booth, spending a certain amount of money, they were getting a free shirt or a free hat. And if they spent enough, they were getting a free shirt and hat. And that really just drove sales at these market events. And I will get you a hat. No problem at all. We're trying to build something here in an industry that has got a lot of working parts, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of companies out here doing what I'm doing right now. And so we're trying to do what we need to do to get our name out there, but as well as separate us from the other companies. We don't want to be just another beard company that you guys come across. So that's why we have the Lady Outcast line that started this year. We're tapping into women's skin and hair care. Because a lot of our customers have been women at these events and have asked us, you know, have you thought about that? So we have
no beards,
but they have the hair and the skin that needs working with. Right.
Sure.
So, you know, Outcast Beards is more than just a beard company. On our website, we talk about this, our mission. Right. So growing up was a bit of a struggle for myself. Because of bullying in my life in and out of school, right? So I personally was affected by this, and it kind of led, that's where the Outcast name came from, mm-hmm. because that's what I resonated with the most. I wanted a company that wasn't just something that was thrown together, put out there, and we decided to see how it was going to go. I put a lot of time and energy into this. We didn't go live until July, but we've been working on this since February of last year. And so while we focus on the beard care and the skin care and providing these types of products, we want to more commit ourselves to building a sense of belonging for people from all walks of life, right?
Okay.
We, as a father, and someone who's been through it, I don't want my kids to have to experience what I experienced. And so we are currently trying to figure out ways we can get involved with these campaigns that are for anti-bullying and helping to spread the word and, you know, just loving your neighbor, you know, doing the things you need to do in your community to ensure that everyone is safe, because the times are, you know, crazy right now. So having experienced that, we're using that experience to hopefully give a sense of belonging for people who don't have the luxuries of, you know, like my beard, kind of my facial hair, it formed over the years. And it really felt like that's what changed who I was. It gave me that, you know, I know it sounds cliche, but that mask, right?
Sure.
I was growing facial. I'm Middle Eastern on my dad's side. So I've been bearded since I was 12, right? I was shaving at an early age. And I remember when I was younger, I was sitting there doing the typical dad shaving with your dad thing, which my dad was old school. He didn't use any of the Gillette razors in the beginning. He used that single edge blade that I called the T razor, right?
Yeah, man.
And he had two of them. He'd take the razor out of one. I'd put shaving cream and I would shave with him. And I remember saying to my dad, I can't wait to shave. He said, son, you want to take it slow. Shaving is not something you're going to love to do. And man, I'm not going to lie. I hated it. I'd shave at 11, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd have a 5 o'clock shadow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I started growing it and started getting different reactions from people. Right. And I kept it going, and now I don't think my kids would recognize me without my beard. But so having that growing up, kind of, I felt when I started, thinking about this company and what I wanted it to be, I didn't realize how much this beard meant to me as what it did for me, per se, growing up through those hard times, because, you know, it happened in my early childhood, but it affected me well into my 20s. This helped me build confidence. It helped me feel like I wasn't affected by the issues because they looked at me different. So I want to have outcast beers do the same. You know, you become an outcast through our company, or even if you don't, if you just need somebody, we're here to provide something that you need, that you're missing, even if it's not beard and skincare. We want to grow this in a way that hopefully down the road we can make a difference for kids growing up, or even adults. I mean, because bullying doesn't stop at the playground. It continues on through the workforce. I've heard stories of adult men and women who have dealt with it well into their 40s and 50s, you know. So this bullying is not an age specific issue. It's all throughout all walks of life. So sure. Outcast Beards is hoping to be able to get to that point where we can really start making a difference in that sort of thing. So
yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I did want to get to that. I had read that on your website a long time ago, right after you reached out to us and asked us to review the products. And you know, obviously we gave you a glowing review. We love what you're doing with these products. They're really, really good. And that's why, you know, the hat, I want to wear the hat during the competition. I'm going to wear one of our shirts, but I want to wear your hat during our competition, during the competition. But, you know, I dealt with all that shit too. I got bullied when I was a kid for a while, and then things came to a head and this kid pushed the line and I wrapped a chain around his throat in art class. And after that, chain wallets were banned. And people generally left me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
They thought that I was fucking crazy. And it's a whole story. And I might be a little touched, but I'm not entirely crazy. And we won't get into the story. But the point is, I've dealt with that shit. And it is something that I was concerned with for my children. And I have four kids. The two oldest are my bonus children. And the two youngest are mine biologically. The two middle, so my youngest bonus child and my oldest biological, are both victims of the bully bullshit. And it came, we ended up getting them involved in martial arts. I have a black belt in Taekwondo, and they wanted me to teach them. And we ended up stumbling upon a school that was literally, I could throw a rock and hit it from my home. So we went there, and then I got invited to help teach there. So now I get to, they're almost black belts. I have earned a second black belt since being there. They're going to be testing for their black belts in June. I mean, it's very much a mixed martial art. So it's Taekwondo and Krav Maga, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Muay Thai kickboxing, all these things rolled into one. And then there's some weapons training, some Kali, which is a Filipino martial art. You know, you train with sticks, but the sticks are they're placeholders for machetes. These motherfuckers were fighting the Spanish with machetes in the jungle. Wow. Like they're bad motherfuckers. and so, yeah, it's helped give them confidence to not put up with the bullshit. But that's the reason why I want to touch. I've personally been affected by bullying, and you know, my kids have as well. And it sucks. It's bullshit. I'm also of the mind, I'm kind of dual minded on this. I'm also of the mind that bullies are there for, they actually serve a purpose in that they teach us how to defend ourselves and how to, now that doesn't mean that it should exist. That doesn't mean that I think it should exist or anything like that, but they do, like there is that part, like you do learn how to defend yourself and how not to let people run you over and have confidence in yourself and stand up for yourself based on whether or not you crest that hill, right? You go from being bullied to standing up to the bully as a child, and then that helps you later on in life, right? Like yeah. I'm, you know, people, I'm not a big guy. I'm 5'7" on a good day. I'm 190 pounds. You know, I'm not a big guy at all, but people aren't going to push me around. They know that, and they can tell that pretty much as soon as they meet me, because I'm pretty forceful.
Right.
I didn't used to be. I used to be the timid, quiet, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just something I learned over years of being pushed around. And now, like, I will accept it. Like when I think somebody's joking around with me, but they go too far, and Jerry's seen this firsthand, you know, there's a friend of ours, and I don't think that he knew that he was crossing a line, but I was like, you know, I just called him out, and I called him out, and I should have, I did it fairly publicly. I should have done it privately, and he is a good guy, and he wasn't trying to be an asshole, but at that particular moment he just pushed a button. And so my point is that it's not great to be bullied. It can teach you some things, in the same way that falling off a bike and scraping the hell out of your knee or what have you, those can teach you things that can later be used in life. It sucks that it has to be that way, but it's great that there are people out there like yourself that are combating this, you know, even into their adult years, because, and I do think that's a fair point. There's a lot of it going on, as you know, a lot of adult bullying that people don't really talk about, and that people are still putting up with. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. And I agree with you there. I'm, you know, as much as I did not like what I went through, I'm stronger for it today. I think that, you know, Outcast Beards is here because of that. So that's a good thing, but it made me stronger as well for my kids. And we dealt with a little bit with it. I have all daughters, and we had a little issue in middle school. Yeah, I have three daughters. And I felt like my experiences allowed me to better deal with the situation, not just with my child, but also with the other parent, as well as the school officials that were involved. And so I find that a lot of us, like us, you and I, we're not alone. And my want is to not just help these kids or adults or whoever who's experienced it, but hopefully with time and what I have in mind of what I would like to do, we may be able to hopefully help some of these kids who are bullying, because I've heard stories as well about the bullies themselves. They are doing what they're doing because of the abuse maybe they've experienced at home or other things that have occurred. So there's some reason, there's some force driving that sort of behavior in the schools and outside of the schools. So I think that when we can work together, like there's this one organization, I can't say their name right now because it's not official, but we've been talking with them and they like what we like, what we've presented so far, but they still have some, I guess, legalities involved or whatever when it comes to this stuff. So hopefully, and I don't know when, but hopefully soon we'll have something we'll have on our website, like we do with the Salute to You program. We'll have something involved that we'll be able to start finally putting Outcast Beards involvement with this sort of thing and work towards improving that within society. So
right on. That's awesome. And back to the hat. I mean, that's one of the coolest, like that fucking big ass pet. That's awesome.
That was like, by design.
I mean, the logo's cool, and what, you know, that's awesome. Like I wear oversized sunglasses all the time. Like, so I like the, you know,
yeah,
that's awesome. So, but before we get any farther in, let's talk about this second one. I'm a little intimidated, I gotta say, because
it's not that bad.
Now scotches aren't a thing, but that's what Jerry told me. It's not. He knows. He's Jerry and I have been friends for quite a long time, and Jerry knows what I like and what I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to warn me, hey, we need to do the Angel's Envy first and then do this other, because you know, there's some things going on here that, so tell us what it is, brother.
This is the Highland Park 12 Years. It is their single malt Scotch whiskey, and it is my favorite single malt Scotch whiskey. I don't care how many years you got, I will take Highland Park 12 any day of the week when it comes to a Scotch. A lot of people's complaints with Scotch is it's too peaty or it's too spicy. This, to me, is the most smooth Scotch that I've ever had. It has a really great, it's got a great blend of peatiness when it comes to a Scotch, in my opinion. It is a just, I don't know how to put it. It's spicy and like sweet, I would say, like not too sweet like the Angel's Envy, but it's got that sweet texture with that good old Scotch peatiness, but not too spicy when it comes to that, if that makes sense. I guess why I love this is I'm a big pumpkin pie fan, and Highland Park, when we were reading about it a while ago, I was curious to know everything, it had mentioned cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves and stuff involved with their process. And I think that's why I love it so much, is because pumpkin pie is my favorite pie of all pies. And in pumpkin pie, when you make it, you've got cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. And so that really won me over. And now when I learned about it, I get that sense of it. That's why I love it so much. So yeah, you got an 18 year or whatever, you know, Scotch, and then you put Highland Park 12, I'm grabbing the Highland Park 12.
Yeah. We have bottle shares weekly by me. And then a couple times someone either brought the cash strength Highland Park, which I believe is non-age stated, if I remember correctly. And then my first go around with Highland Park, someone brought the 18 year, and I just, that, holy shit.
Yeah.
That one, a little bit outside my price range, or at least what I like to spend. But the 12 year is not as good, but it's just as good at the same time. I'm not a big peated Scotch fan. I don't mind a little smoke, which is kind of why I like this one. There's a little bit of that peaty smokiness in there, but not overpowering.
Right.
I could go from this to another pour and not have to deal with that smoky, peaty mouthfeel. But I was doing some research on it because I know a lot about American whiskeys and rums. I don't really know a lot about like Irish or Scottish or Japanese or anything like that. So I was doing some research.
Let's back that up for a second, because you and I both have a certificate that says, I know a lot about whiskey.
It's American whiskey.
It was single malts at the same time. And there can't be that much difference between American single malts and scotches.
There's not, but the rules are a little different.
They are,
just like everything. But when I was looking up this one, I think the sweetness that you're getting, which I was always getting, I was always curious to see how, because Scotch to me, at least like the Dewars and
Macallan,
like John, Macallan's, the Johnny Walker Green, it's basically the only Johnny Walker I like, but they have like that sweet maltiness to it. This one is a little bit sweeter, but not in like a bad way. So when I looked it up, 20% of their blend, or roughly about 20% of their blend, they use 100% first fill Oloroso sherry cask. So however many barrels they dump, about 20% is first fill Oloroso sherry. The rest is a combination of American and Spanish oak that they season for 8 to 12 months with more Oloroso sherry. Or no, I read that wrong. So the 100% first fill is seasoned 8 to 12 months with the Oloroso sherry, which I think brings out a lot of that sweetness in there. But yeah, the smoke is there, but it's not overpowering. It doesn't stick with you. I could go from this. I could go right back to the Angel's Envy and not have to worry about that peaty smokiness that you get off of like a, what is it? A Lagavulin, or was it an oat or something like that, that you just take one sip and it sticks with you the rest of the night. This one's not. It'll stick with you with the pour. Take a sip of water, it's gone, which I like. And the bottle itself is freaking cool. Nice little,
it is badass. That spiking on
it.
All that, I don't even know what you call that, but that, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
that's like the Viking, as they now call it, the Viking Honor.
Right.
I guess it's like Viking, I don't know what you call it, but at the bottom, I don't know if it'll come through, but it has an imprint of the island Orkney, or however you want to say, however you actually say it.
Yeah,
the island that it's actually produced in, which I noticed that the other day. I'm like, that's cool, you don't normally see that. But yeah, back of the bottle says, a wild harmony of honey drenched oranges, winter spiced fruitcake, and floral peat smoke notes. Yeah. All those spices you were talking about, definitely get that orange in there and that slight peatiness. Yeah, this has, over the last probably year, has been probably one of my favorite scotches.
I've had the 18 year once, and it's almost double the price of a 12 year. So it's like really hard to, you know, get it. But and honestly, it's always never there in my liquor store, my local liquor store. Yeah. 12 is always available. So I want to get one. I will get one because I enjoyed it and I want to have some more to make sure that it was. But yeah, this Highland Park is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I just looked it up on Total Wine's website. Around here, I can get it for $56.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't tasted it yet, but I have been nosing the fuck out of it. And I don't get the orange. What I get is green apple. I get straight up green apple. And I'm very intrigued to see how that carries through on the palate. Now, there are some I do have some scotches up here. I've got some American single malts. I've got one that was actually sent to me by the gentleman I mentioned, Brian Dewar, the 10th Mountain American Single Malt. It's pretty good. And I'm going to be sending a sample out to Jerry and Paul here pretty soon. And if you would like to try it, I'll get you a sample as well.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
And I've got some Balvenie and some Johnny Walker and some